Let's go to Matthew 11. It came to pass when Jesus made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now, that position never changes. Your relatives, you know, everybody's always concerned about their friends or relatives, or the way in which that is accomplished, if your concern is when he's made an end of commanding you his disciple, then he will go and preach and teach in your arena. So it's your responsibility is only to believe. Your responsibility is to go to war with your own instead of Christ. Your responsibility is repentance and obedience. That's all. Everything else is his business. Let's read that again with that in mind. And it came to pass when Jesus made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities, or their arenas, or their worlds. And once you believe, if you believe, you will speak. If you ever have to have a plan to speak, it's an evidence that you don't believe. If you ever have to have an agenda, it's the evidence that you don't. You're not he has not made an end of commanding you. Is that clear? What? It looks like you got something to say, but you have a mouthful of food.
I'm going to do both. Well, our Bible study, that's a little bit of preparedness for this morning. That's not an agenda.
I didn't even know I was going to talk about this. I was going to talk about whatsoever you say shall be done for you.
Yeah, that's good.
And the evil one speaks. So, let's go to Psalm 118 real quick. Psalm 118, the Hallel. Maybe it isn't there. Where does it say, I believe, therefore I speak?
It should be a little bit.
I know.
Well, Paul's doing something.
Well, what
secretly
is it? Yeah. Thank you, Ron. Can we turn the air conditioner on, please?
Is it on?
It's not on. Verse 8, 116. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I believed, therefore have I spoken. That's why the so-called Great Commission is in the aorist tense. as you go into your world, you will make disciples, not converts. All right. Back to Matthew 11. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again these things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up from the dead, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, What went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? What does that mean? What went you out to see? A person that was affected by his external surroundings? Now, that's not just for John the Baptist. It's for you. If you've ever drunk the cup of Elijah at the Passover meal, then from that point, if you had it with understanding, then you too will not be a reed shaken in the wind. The smoking flax you will not quench. In other words, there is no response from you to the surroundings that you see. The response has to be from somewhere else. The response is, back to this thing that the only prayer we have, O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God, my own eternal self, live thou thy life in me, do thy will in me, be thou made flesh in me, I have no will but thine, I have no self but thee. O Jesus Christ, thou Son of God. All right. What went you out to see? A reed shaken in the wind? But what went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went you out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare the way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. We could spend a year on each one of these, but I want to go down here, Father. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. In other words, Jesus Christ was the only thing that John prophesied of, and he was the only thing that the law and the prophets revealed. For if you receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. It wasn't a time, I mean, you heard me say many times that many of the weirdos say that this is the proof that there's reincarnation, because John the Baptist was the reincarnation of Elijah, because that's what apparently it says. This is Elijah, but it's the spirit of Elijah which is in every true believer. It's not some reincarnated hunk of protoplasm. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear.
Spirit that prepares the way.
Right.
Which has nothing to do
with
John the Baptist.
And what did John the Baptist, what was his message? Right. Bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. That's all you can do. You cannot talk somebody into the kingdom of God. You can only show them the futility and vanity and emptiness of their own efforts and their own lives. That's not a popular message. has been, never will be. Because if you try to talk someone into it, if you try to convince them of the advantage, then you will become a pleaser of men. And if I should yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. That sounds like it's very simple to say, but believe me, to be faithful to it is unbelievable. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? Which generation? All generations. It's eternally true. All men. Like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you and you have not lamented. In other words, you as a disciple cannot respond to the vagaries of men. We have piped unto you, but you didn't dance. We have mourned and you have not lamented. You're in a different universe. You're of a different sort, a different kind, a different race. You don't value the same things they value. You don't want the same things they want. You don't fear the same things they fear. This is your heritage. What? Where are you? You're right here? For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of the mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon than at that day, or the day of judgment, than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell, for if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. That's
why that?
Because the people didn't repent it when he who was come is come. Same is true today. You can just as easily say to Dallas or New York or Baghdad or anywhere else, it would have been more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah than for you.
We have seen the works.
Now, this goes back to what we're about to look at is something that we talked about a few days ago on the concepts of zero, but at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Wisdom and prudence are the most valuable of almost any asset in the human race. Remember the two that never died were Enoch and Elijah, right? Enoch always represents wisdom, and Elijah always represents prophecy. Not telling the future, but just saying the truth. And those two prophets are within you. Everybody understand that?
Brian always says, well, you know, not things will happen, but actually what does happen is the Spirit of life. That's what happens. God's Spirit.
Amen.
Takes place.
I thank thee, Father, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And when he said all things, there's nothing that wasn't delivered unto him. That means everything is perfect. That means he's Lord of Lords. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Incredible statement. Because if I know the Son, then it means I have still created a separate condition between me and Christ. And I have denied that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. So the harm that is done by saying to someone, do you know Jesus is your personal Savior? The harm is, it's the opposite of what the Scripture says. Does everybody see that? Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now, you cannot see God and live. It's from the beginning. Therefore, if the Son reveals the Father unto you, you have had to have gone somewhere. Dead. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Now, this is where I was going to start at. I didn't. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, take my yoke upon thee, upon you, is a common metaphor in the Talmud at the time of Christ. And it literally means enroll in my school. Come under my authority. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. And my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, why is his yoke easy and his burden light?
He does the work.
Because he's already finished the work. Why? What happens when you're confronted with something? This is what we've been talking about the last few days. Oh my God, what shall I do? You instantly revert to the old man. You're confronted with some unexpected situation. It's my God, what shall I do? Is the trick. You know, if you have to use, I mean, I hate to tell you this, but you've got to pull away from this. You've got to remove the subjectivity from your standpoint of whatever situation is troubling you. And you step back from it so that you have an opportunity to understand that it's his test, not yours. that his burden is light, that his way is easy. But now that's why it says labor to enter into my rest. Because the tendency is to always want or need to be the one that judges what to do. And it's like, again, the reason there are addicts, so many addicts of so many things in our culture, is to show us how terribly, terribly, terribly we are addicted to ourselves. Cross is the only answer. Again, once you begin focusing on the problem, then the problem flows in, the energy flows into the problem. And you make it bigger. Go to 1 John 5. Now, let's go to Mark. I'm sorry. Mark 11. Verse 23. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he hath saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, therein is the problem. I don't care what it is. It doesn't matter whether it's the weirdest thing in the universe that your mind comes up or your emotions come up that says you want this. The problem isn't the want. As I said before, the want is really the desire of the heart that's been filtered through your idols. The problem is the source that you go to solve it or to obtain it. You've got to hear this. You are, as a born-again believer, everything that exists in the universe is yours. The only thing that Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit and the Father are doing is using this juncture between what you think you want and then your attempts to get it and solve the problems, and that antagonism, he's using that antagonism to conform you to the image of Christ and to create a bride without spot and blemish. Now, this is where you live. That's why modern theology has so many of these weird, weird deals. You know, the word faith movement, your words have power. Faith is a force, you know, on and on and on, so that faith becomes a commodity for you to get stuff. And of course it appeals to the masses because it satisfies the lusts of the flesh. We are different. We unabashedly say what it is we think we want to the Father, no matter what it is. But we refuse to take any effort or give any thought on how he's going to accomplish it or satisfy the need. Now, this is the juncture that where the bride, this is that great dividing white line between the bride and the whore. Now, there is, in your day-to-day life, this is the grinding tool to polish the diamond, if you will, in that parable or analogy. This is the heat that is ridding the gold of the pure or silver of the impurities. Because you don't want to wait. What I want it now. Because secretly, you never say this to yourself, but secretly you're saying, if I don't get it when I want it, when I get it, I might not want it. I mean, that's that's
come at an inopportune time.
Right, that's the evilness of your mind. Am I communicating with you? What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. This, now you can see how the Kenneth Hagins and the Copelands and the whole, you know, Creflo Dollar and Jesse Duplantis and the whole now TBN and Paul Crouch and Benny Hinn, they all have fallen into the trap of using, it's really spiritual sorcery, to try to manipulate situations so that they get what they, their flesh, their lusts are. You know, I got to say this because I watched him. I really think that much of what Benny Hinn is doing is good. I am not anti-Benny Hinn, but he has been seduced. He's been seduced by this whole idea of the word faith movement, that if he preaches prosperity, then he has to live prosperity. I mean, I don't think he's probably doing any more good than anything else, but I'm not saying that he is an evil man. I think he's been seduced. But I don't want you to be seduced. Now, let's go on. And when you stand praying, forgive. That's sort of the important part there. Forgive if you have aught against any situation, any person, any place, any condition. If there is any if only, if there's anything that you haven't, in truth, appreciated that's in your entire life, then you haven't forgiven it. Now this is a toughie, because bad things have happened to you. But to forgive from the heart means that you have appreciated that happened to you, because unless it happened to you, you couldn't have seen what you see today. Because otherwise you're saying that I don't, you're going back up and saying you can't. Whatsoever you say shall be done for you, because there's this huge impediment between you and the Father. In fact, it says very clearly, if you can't forgive all their trespasses, then God can't forgive you. All right. That your Father in heaven, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses. All right. Now, in the other Gospels, when it talks about casting the mountain into the sea and all that, it says, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed. Now, this is, you know, primarily for anybody that may be listening. All of you have heard this. It's not... And people wear little mustard seed thingies around, you know, in plastic around their neck, and it's jillions of gimcracks have been invented to have the faith of a grain of mustard, the faith of a grain. That is, if you just have this little teeny bit of faith. But it's not the fact of the amount of the size of the mustard seed. It's the fact that the mustard seed knows it's a mustard seed. And it will fulfill its purpose. If you know who you are, if you know that you have been crucified with Him, if you know that you have been buried in baptism, if you know that He is your life, then whatsoever you say shall be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. Is that clear? Now, if you don't know, and as it also says in the hollow, don't give rest to your head or sleep to your eyes until you find out the habitation of the Holy One. Until you find out that He has been resurrected in you today. One more time. I love this. O Jesus Christ, Thou Son of God, my own eternal self, live Thou Thy life in me. Do Thou Thy will in me. Be Thou made flesh in me. I have no will but Thine. I have no self but Thee, O Jesus Christ, Thou Son of God. Amen? Any response?
Prophecy is never proven. It's not for the wise and the prudent, and everything that we try to do to get whatever it is that comes into our head is, it's prudence. It's in our mind. It's what seems to be right.
Yeah, Bojan and I had to talk about that. From a linear standpoint, in time, 1 and 1 equals 2. That's what prudence means. If I do this, this will happen, cause and effect. I've got to be careful for this, otherwise this will happen. But considering your life in entirety, expanding the pegs of your tent, as I've said so often, to the edge of time and space itself, then it's no longer linear, because we have a first, a second, a third, and a fourth dimension all encompassed in eternity. And so all our ways of thinking as humans have no bearing on the spirit world, the eternal world. And that's why the concept of zero is so important. In eternity, there is no zero. In spirit, there is no zero. There is no nothing. Because where there is the appearance of nothing or zero, there is Him. There is He. There He is. Thank you. Wade?
No, just when I saw this plant, I slept on it, and then I came up with the idea of a tracking device. I need to put a tracking device in another plant instead of trap. How do we do that?
If you've got extra time on your hands, you might find something for you to do.
I was thinking when you're talking about the Bennigans and the throngs that come, and it's like they want that to be the truth so bad. It's with everything in them, oh God, I hope this is the truth. But because it's so satisfying for the flesh. Not really, but it...
Well, it's not really. I mean, it is. I mean, it's...
But only shortly.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why the people that go to there's very likely that many of them receive salvation. Many of them may be born again. Many of them may be healed. But that's not the issue. The issue, from my standpoint right now, is the manner in which the manipulation of data causes them to send the money. And that's what... It's hard to explain because... You know, it's not like Tilton. I think between you and I on the fence post, I think Tilton was a sham from day one. But I don't believe Benny Hinn. I never have believed Benny Hinn. I think he is misled. And I was very, if you remember, in 1993 when I met with him, I was very excited that I thought he heard. And he made all kinds of statements all over the country that he had heard. It's a shame for preachers to live in expensive houses and drive expensive cars and have Rolexes and jewelry everywhere.
And then somebody talked to him and convinced him otherwise.
Right. He's like I've met and talked with him, both he and with Paul Crouch and Jen Crouch. Jen Crouch is nutty, but Paul Crouch, I too think, is sincere. Benny Hinn, I think, is sincere. But both of them are like sponges. They don't have a foundation of the cross. And so they get led around by whichever thing happens at the time.
Do they even know or have an idea of the cross or whatever?
Well, again, they do for a time, and then it gets overridden.
How do they allow themselves?
Because we haven't prophesied. Same way you... I can't believe you, of all people in the world, I can't believe you could ask that, Monty. I mean, that's why we... Yeah, it was one of those things... No. It was one of those things where by the time it was out of your mouth, you wish you hadn't said it. No, that's why we are so fortunate. I'd be just as bad as I'd be doing the same things or worse if I didn't have if you guys weren't here.
You'd be doing it better.
I may be doing it better.
you'd probably actually.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean.
Get it together. And,
you know, I wanted to have. Remember when we almost got a television network? When we're going to get Channel 39, and then that was going to be the forerunner. I could have been another Marcus Lamb. I remember certain people around that we were really encouraging me.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
We're sitting around drawing little communication centers we're going to build and stuff on napkins, yeah. You know. And, big plan.
And really thought it was of God.
Sure. That's the point that you really want that to be what God wants.
But God, when it finally dawned on me what I had first seen, that everything was finished at the cross. We had to lose Channel 39 like we did in order for that to be cemented. We had to go through everything we've done, including the pain, in order for that to be cemented further. I mean, make it boom. I never had anything against him in the first place. I thought he crook, but that doesn't mean anything against them. No, I also think Pat Robertson's sincere. We're in the same office building. We had desks in the same little room for 3 months. Of course, he won't talk to me now. It's mainly because Skippy makes fun of him all the time. That's Skippy. Oh, pobre Cito. Oh, poor Ronnie. There's a whole lot of people like that. Take a big guy.